Well, the set text for this morning comes from a very well-known passage in the New Testament. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is concerned with the subject of Christian love. And the text consists in English of just 8 words. If I have not love, I am nothing. But before we go any further, let me remind you of the opening 3 verses of the chapter from which those words are taken. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. But you probably noticed that in stressing the necessity of love, which Paul does in those verses, he used that same expression, but have not love, 3 times. In summary, Paul made it clear that no matter what I say, even if I mastered every human and angelic form of utterance, no matter what I have, even God-given gifts of prophecy, knowledge, or miracle-working faith, no matter what I do, even if I give away my property to others and give my body in self-sacrifice for others, without love, what do I become? Nothing. Without love, what am I? Nothing. And without love, what do I gain? Nothing. In each case, absolutely nothing. And it is sobering, to say the least, to discover that I can have the most wonderful speech in my mouth, have a complete understanding of God's mysteries and truth in my mind, have tremendous resources of faith in my heart, and have to my credit the most sacrificial of actions in my conduct, and that because I don't love, I achieve nothing, I am nothing, and I benefit nothing. But what is this love which the Lord tells me is so indispensable? Some time ago, I came across this apparently genuine definition of love offered by one young child. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on aftershave and they go out and smell each other. No, that's not what the Apostle Paul had in mind. And the love in view in our passage is far removed indeed from the erotic and sensual use of the word so common in media and in society around us today. And in the verses that follow, the Apostle does not set out to provide the Corinthians with a definition of love. What he does is to list for them, and for me, some of the qualities and characteristics of Christian love. In one sense, you could say, to paint love's portrait. So I'm sure you know this past Sunday night was census time. I didn't post hours until this morning. There we are. I understand a national census has been conducted every 10 years since the year 1801, which else you probably remember. But yesterday, courtesy of my computer, I was reading through a census return which was submitted 160 years ago from Buckingham Palace. As it happens, the census night that year fell on the 30th of March. Happy birthday, today's date. And every person residing at the palace that night had to be included on the return, including the royal family, which then consisted of Queen Victoria, Prince Albert, and their children. And I noted that under name and surname, the Queen was listed as Her Majesty Alexandrina Victoria, and that, although she was monarch of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, her husband, Prince Albert, is listed as head of the household, with the Queen shown simply as wife. Victoria was then 31 years old, having already reigned 13 years, and with a further half century ahead of her. Indeed, our present Queen still got 4.5 years to go to equal the length of her great-great-grandmother's reign. And may she do so. 50 years after that census, Lord Ronald Gower, a very close friend of Queen Victoria, ventured to write to her, asking what was her favourite text from Holy Scripture. She wrote back to say, "Love suffereth long and is kind," which are those two statements, which are, as you probably know, the first two attributes of love listed by the Apostle Paul in the remainder of our section today. And I know that those two qualities of love, in particular, are godlike. For in another of his letters, that to the Romans, Paul spoke of the riches, both of his, that's God's, long-suffering, and of his kindness. On the one hand, withholding his anger, so richly deserved by us, and on the other, exercising his kindness, so altogether undeserved by us. Well, let me read the relevant verses to you. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It doesn't, that is, resent the prosperity and success of others. Love vaunts not itself. It doesn't, that is, parade itself, doesn't blow its own trumpet, showing off to impress others. Is not puffed up. And the word, so translated, being derived from the Greek word for a bellows. Love, that is, isn't inflated with a sense of its own importance, and is no more guilty of inward pride than it is of outward show. Does not behave rudely. Love doesn't act, that is, in an unseemly and improper manner. It's marked by courtesy and tact, by consideration and respect for others. Does not seek its own. Love does not put itself first. And it can be said of love, as it once was of the Lord Jesus, that love does not look to its own interests, but to the interests of others. Is not provoked. Love does not get irritated. Love does not become bitter when it suffers injury at the hands of others. Thinks no evil. Paul was actually using a very well-known accounting term. When love suffers wrong, love does not enter it down in a ledger, he's saying. Love doesn't put it down against the account of the offender with a view sometime to paying it back, perhaps with high rates of interest. Love does not keep a note of wrongs done to it. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Love doesn't get any smug sense of satisfaction over the errors and wrong actions of others. Love does not triumph and gloat over their falls, their faults, their failures, but rejoices in truth. Love, that is, rejoices in all that is true. Bear all things. Love puts up with all things, believes all things. Not that love is in any way gullible or naive, but love is always keen to believe good of others, always willing to give others the benefit of the doubt. Hopes all things, even when hard facts prove beyond doubt that others are at fault, and it's therefore no longer possible to believe the best of them. Love will still hope the best of them, that they will do better in the future. Endures all things, even when love's hopes of others have been dashed, even when love has met with many sad disappointments. Love does not give up. Love persists. These, then, Paul wanted the Corinthians, and wants us, to know, are some of the qualities of love. And you can't miss it, that love, true love, is not mere sentiment or feeling. While a car was in for MOT at Leckwith on Monday, Linda and I used our bus passes to go down to Barry Island. And when there we popped into a shop on the seafront to have a look around, and I was impressed by the words on a fridge magnet, which I spotted there but couldn't afford to buy. I like hugs and I like kisses, but what I need is help with the dishes. And yeah, true love will always express itself in action. And Paul knew as well as any that the supreme expression of love is found in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in one of the better known texts in the New Testament, Paul wrote of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I said at the beginning that my text today consists of just 8 words. If I have not love, I am nothing. Well, certainly without that love, the love of Christ, I am nothing. Shall we pray?